This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's finish the week strong. Probably the easiest question that you've given so far. Reset that one, J-Lo.
Which former Texan multi-time 1,000-yard rusher wore number 37?
That would be Dominic Davis, who, my gosh, man, if he hadn't gotten hurt, who knows?
A lot of people might have said Arian Foster, because that's the first number that he wore, but he only some people didn't even know that Arian Foster wore number 37 as a rookie, but rushed for 597 yards. His multi-time 1,000-yard seasons obviously were as number 23. But Dominic Davis / Dominic Williams, he changed his name, was that.
How do you go from Davis to Williams? I guess, was it?
Oh, he was honoring his dad.
His dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess his parents split up or something, but they had something of a good relationship. So he was Dominic Williams. I believe this is the correct story. Mark Vandermeer will text me if it's incorrect. And then later in life, he wanted just to honor his dad, and so he took his dad's name.
There we go. OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you here on Sports Radio 610. Working at home with you, for you. SportsRadio610.com/dedicated to Houston if you want to find out where to order takeout, because it is definitely takeout season here in H-Town. We want to keep our local restaurants alive. We're going to discuss in 20 minutes the best at-home competition, because J.J. Watt and his two brothers, they are having the Watt Family Olympics. And it got me to thinking, what is the best, as we are all stuck at home together, what is the best at-home competition? So be thinking of that. Send that in to us as well, 713-572-4610, whether it's video games, whether it's something outside. The best at-home, best, most intense at-home competition, send that to us. But I wanted to do this, John, because you've talked about Bill O'Brien, and you've called him the most unlikable guy in town, maybe in your entire time of covering sports in Houston. And I don't know if he really cares, but maybe he doesn't care, but Bill O'Brien is not very well liked by at least the fans that we talk to. Maybe it's just a tale of the time, and a lot of media types don't appear to be the biggest fans of Bill O'Brien and the work that he does. And just the brashness that he has, the image he portrays, if I will. Is that a fair thing to say, John?
Yeah, that is.
I just thought that we needed to bring this up because I think a lot of people are taking out their frustration on the Texans, and rightfully so. Anytime the Texans post anything on social media now, there's just an AK-47 of venom thrown in their direction, and there's just a lot of stuff there. But when it comes to this team, we just mentioned J.J. Watt, all the stuff he's done for the community, Deshaun Watson, everything he does. This is one of the most likable teams as far as the players in that locker room that I can remember covering in my entire career. And I think we just need to make that very clear, that while – and maybe there's some irony in it, but while they do have the most unlikable person calling all the shots, King Bill, they do have one of the most likable teams in the entire NFL.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what makes it, I think that's what makes it most frustrating for fans. You know, we can talk about what we do and what, you know, so-called experts across the NFL and NFL people, as we were talking about in the last segment, might say or think of Bill O'Brien. But I think fans are like, we love this team. We don't like what's going on, you know, with the head coach. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not stretching the truth by anything, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, if you just look around, Justin Reed, I mean, he's uplifting. J.J. Watt, you have Deshaun Watson, you got Bernardrick McKinney, Zach Cunningham, very likable guys. Laremy Tunsil's a funny guy. I don't know if he's going to be like a Hollywood actor or anything like that, like he's trying to do, but Laremy Tunsil is a very likable guy. Will Fuller, we've sat down with him. Just David Johnson, even the newest member of the Texans. He's a likable guy. Randall Cobb just had a conference call an hour ago. People can't stop saying good things about him, whether it's in Green Bay or whether it's in Dallas, based on who you talk about. They just have Whitney Merciless. I mean, I didn't even mention Whitney Merciless. He does so much in the community. It might not matter. It might not be a big deal, but I think whenever the frustration, which I think is valid, is expressed by fans, I think it might even add to the frustration, like you said, that the players are just such good dudes.
Yeah, and I think from a fan perspective, here, the thing is, it's like when you go to a comedy club, all right? You go to the comedy club wanting to laugh. You know, you have a good attitude. You know, most people go to the comedy club, you know, anticipating it, feeling good, you know, wanting to laugh. You want to laugh. A comedian has to be, and sometimes you laugh at stuff that normally you might not laugh at because you're in that mood, right? You're in the comedy club mood, right? So the comedian has to really be bad, like really be bad for you not to have a good time.
And there's nothing more awkward than they are bad. When they are bad, though, man, it's awkward.
Right, right. And so I feel like that's what Texans fans are right now. They want to like you, man. They like so many parts of this team. They're loyal. That stadium is filled every day. They love the players. They love the personalities. They want to like you. But right now, Bill O'Brien is bombing. You know, to use the comedy analogy, he's bombing. And people are uncomfortable with it and are getting up and walking out, you know?
Yeah, and I mean that's what I've always said. You know, there are some cities where they just want to hate. There's like New York, they just want to hate. Boston, they just want to hate. Not here. I mean, they want to praise you. They want to love you. And if they don't like you here, it either has something to do with your performance, which we've talked about the flaws in Bill O'Brien's four division titles, how bad the division was the first 2 years, and J.J. Watt was Defensive Player of the Year, and the rest of the division was just awful at head coach and quarterback, and teams have gone further the last two in the division. And your personality and just really just the moves that you've made, you have to mess up pretty heavily to be disliked in this town. That's the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, working at home with you, for you. So the Watt family, during this quarantine, there are three Watt brothers in the NFL. There is J.J. Watt, the best player in the history of the Texans franchise. There is T.J. Watt.
He sucks at football.
Maybe the best player in the Watt family right now, T.J. Watt, outside linebacker for the Steelers. Almost won Defensive Player of the last year. And there is Derek Watt, the fullback, now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. There are three Watt brothers, and apparently they are at home together, spending some time together during this quarantine. J.J. has decided that they're going to have the Watt Family Olympics. These are the events that the Watt brothers are going to have. First, there's going to be a 40-yard dash between JJ's two dogs, Tex and Finley. Tex is going to dominate.
One is Tex?
Tex is the bigger golden retriever. Finley's the smaller one. Yeah, so I think Tex is going to dominate that. They're also going to have a game of horse, a three-way game of horse. They're going to have ping pong, and they're going to have soccer penalty kicks. Let's just break this down and say who we think is going to win the Watt Family Olympics. Starting with horse. You agree Tex is going to smoke Finley, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's not going to be close. All right. What about a game of horse? J.J. Watt versus Derek Watt versus T.J. Watt.
I got a feeling that JJ's just too bulky, right? I mean, he's just too big. I got a hunch that once they start shooting jump shots, it's going to wear on JJ. So it comes down to between TJ and Derek. I have a hunch that Derek can hoop a little bit. I'm going to go with Derek.
I'm going with JJ, and the only reason is I don't think any of them can hoop. I think they all got too wide of shoulders to where I don't think they have the flexibility that it takes to really just make it rain from downtown. I think it's going to be an awkward meathead looking shot. You've played with the guy at the rec center, the guy that's boxing out the whole time, that really is missing layup after layup after layup. That's what the Watt brothers strike me as far as basketball. But I think JJ Watt being the bigger brother and being the one that they both look up to, I think a big part of playing horse is trash talk. And I think with all things equal, I think JJ Watt is going to will his way to win in the game of horse.
See, so I don't JJ see here. I want JJ on my rec center team because I think he'll get every rebound. You always want offensive linemen on your intramural team or defensive linemen on your intramural team because they can rebound. I think Derek, a little bit lower to the ground. I think he's a little bit smaller. I mean, that's all relative, right? But I think Derek is probably the better hooper.
Okay, so you got Derek. I got JJ. Bags. Cornhole bags. So it's going to start out with JJ versus Derek, and then TJ gets the winner. Bags. Cornhole.
It's got to be JJ. Got to be JJ. Dude is... I think he can throw back some beer, man. I think he's a tailgater.
What's that got to do with this? Oh, well,
because that's a tailgate game, man. That's a tailgate game, and I feel like JJ would probably not only win this but dominate this.
Okay, I got in this one. I got Derek. I think Derek is going to be the one with the softer touch here in the bags in the Watt Family Olympics. I'm gonna go with Derek here. I think Derek gets the W. You got JJ. So right now you have TJ winning an event and JJ. I have Derek and JJ winning an event, which brings us to ping pong, the Watt Family Olympics. Ping pong, Derek versus TJ, and JJ gets the winner. I'm going to say that it gets equaled out here, and I'm going to say that TJ Watt wins the ping pong. He just seems like he is very, very athletic, and I think he's going to rise to the occasion, and I think all things will be equal through three events. I'm going to give this one to TJ.
Now, you talk about trash talk, and I think JJ's really good at it. I haven't really had much experience listening to TJ or Derek, but you talk about trash. I think JJ's really good at trash talk. And when he tweeted this and all the games that they were going to play, he immediately said, I'm going to win ping pong. I'm going to win that.
Okay, so he put himself out there like that.
So I feel like JJ, plus, here's the other thing. Not that TJ doesn't have quick hands, but JJ has the best hands in the league.
Yeah, he does.
You know what I mean?
JJ Swat. He's got the best for no reason.
He's got the best hands in the league. So I feel because of his hand ability and obviously talking trash, I think JJ wins this.
Okay, so that would be two events for JJ from you. So JJ would be in the driver's seat heading into the final event. Soccer penalty kicks. JJ versus TJ. Derek gets the winner. I got JJ winning this and winning the Watt Family Olympics because I don't think he can go home if he doesn't win this. When you're married to a soccer star, you damn sure better win soccer penalty kicks. So I'm giving that one to JJ. Plus, I think they have to play goalie against their opponent, and I think JJ Watt would be the best possible soccer goalie. You want to talk about swatting, jumping in front of it?
Yeah.
I think JJ would be the better goalie. So I think JJ, even if it's not just because of his leg, I think his goalie skills are going to be superior to his little brother's. So I give this one to JJ.
Yeah, I can't argue with any of that logic. That just makes way too much sense. I'm with you.
So you got JJ winning three. That's the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610, working at home with you, for you. What'd it do, J-Lo?
Speaking of J.J. Watt, he wears the most famous number probably in Texans history, right?
Yes.
There have been six players in Texans history who have worn number 99.
I know one of them works with us.
Name four. You know what? I'll make it easy on you.
That's going to be hard.
Name three.
Now?
No. When we come back.
Okay. I've got two already. So I'll give you those two when we come.
Can you believe six dudes have worn number 99?
That's a little bit crazy. Travis Johnson's one of them. I know that. So there's a spoiler alert.
Yeah, there's one. You're halfway there.
OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. The best at home competition. We're all stuck at home. The weekend is approaching. Sometimes it's just fun to get competitive. What are the best at home competitive activities? We will cuss and discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, John, hit me with that trivia question.
J.J. Watt, number 99, been doing it for a long time. But there have been six players wear number 99 in Texans history. Can you name three, maybe even four?
I can name two. Travis Johnson and what was his name? Robbery Smith, something like that?
You pronounced it Relano is how you pronounced it. No, Robert Smith.
That guy.
It's pronounced Relano.
Those are the only Robert Smith two I can name.
There's another one. I said four because there's another pretty popular one. Number 99, J.J. Watt, Robert Smith, Travis Johnson, Tim Jamison wore number 99 for 1 year.
How could I forget that?
Adewale Ogunleye wore it the year before J.J. got here.
How confident are you on that pronunciation?
Oh, I remember him. I'm confident. And then Steve Martin in 2003, the first player ever to wear.
The actor?
Yeah, wild and crazy guy. He hates these cans. But The Jerk is such a good movie.
It's awesome.
Not that Steve.
It's awesome.
I love that line. He hates these cans. Steve Martin, first player ever to wear number 99. If you have a Steve Martin number 99 jersey, I would love to see a picture of it.
If you can send me a picture of your Steve Martin 99 jersey, I'll give you a gift card to a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one has that. No one's got a Steve Martin jersey. And none of
you don't know. It was the second year of existence.
Okay.
I don't
give a damn if it was before the team even came back. Steve. Robert Smith, I'm told by Sean Pendergast, is Trapp's brother-in-law.
Oh, that's right. He sure is.
I did not
he
know
He sure
that.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just completely butchered his name.
It's pronounced Relano.
Shut up, John. I bet some people have, nobody orders that anyway. I bet some people have, Tony Banks jerseys.
Tony Banks. What number was Tony Banks?
12, right?
Tony Banks was number 12, which was an interesting fact I also found when I was searching all this and going through this and all these this numerology, if you will. There have been some pretty decent players wear number 12. Jacoby Jones wore 12.
My guy.
Kenny Stills wears 12, and Tony Banks. Tony Banks. One of the most underrated players there is. Probably should have started ahead of... Listen to me. Let me finish. Had Tony Banks started the first year of the Houston Texans instead of David Carr, I think you can make a strong case that David Carr would not have been as bad. I'm not saying he's going to be great, but you can make a strong case that David Carr would not have been as bad as he ended up being. Keep in mind,
what?
He got
listen
to me.
Man?
I'm telling you, I would love to have this conversation with Mark Vandermeer because I think he would co-sign it. David Carr got thrown to the Wolves.
Come on.
David Carr got thrown to the Wolves as a rookie. Tony Banks was a
lot. Did your daughter bring
better.
You some liquor or something like that? Like have
she
you
brought me did,
I
just posted
birthday?
It. I just posted it on I just posted it on Twitter. I got me
some
DoorDash Popeyes, baby. Popeyes came through for me. Let me finish. David Carr was awful as a rookie. Got thrown to the Wolves as a rookie on an expansion team. Had Tony Banks started the first year or maybe even two instead of David Carr, he would have come around along slower. Tony Banks, by the way, those first 2 years was a better quarterback than David Carr. This flat out was a better quarterback than David Carr.
That says more about Carr than Tony Banks.
No, I think Tony Banks, they mishandled their quarterback usage with Banks and Carr. Tony Banks was not that bad a player, man. He really wasn't.
All I know about Tony Banks is that whenever the Ravens went to Trent Dilfer instead of Tony Banks, they got better and they won a Super Bowl. And
right. The
Dallas Cowboys, rather than start Tony Banks, they cut him and they went with Quincy Carter. That's all I need to know about Tony Banks.
I understand that. I'm not saying he was a Pro Bowler, but he was better than David Carr and should have started those first couple of years for the Texans. And maybe David Carr wouldn't have been the basket case that he ended up being. I like that figure.
That might have been for Quincy Carter. 17, folks, same number, Quincy Carter. Shout out to Gucci Man. Shout out to John Lopez, man. I love when you start celebrating your birthday. I think this is one. Apparently, you've already started drinking with that Tony Banks take. That's definitely something nobody's talking about, though. Nobody's talking about how underrated Tony Banks was. But you get that here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. I'm busting Lopez's balls. I'll just be honest. I'm just hungry. I just want a chili Rellino.
Good God. That's the lowest point in this show's history.
That is not, because the lowest point would be if I actually ordered a chili Rellino when I went Rellino. I'll say it right. Rellino. Bro, I ain't making no L silent.
Just say it Rellino. Something like that.
I'm just going to say chili R. Chili R is what we're going with from now on. It doesn't matter. I don't need to know it. It's almost like those advanced math classes that I used to take. I don't need that, okay? I don't need the chili. Mm-hmm. If you want to throw it on my combo plate with my two enchiladas and my crispy taco, go ahead. I might eat half of it, but I'm not going to it. The best at-home competition, the best ways to compete with your loved ones, with your friends at home, John. Give me some. I have all kinds from different eras of my life.
When we break out a board game, it's on, baby. I mean, that's not like a competition like what you're talking about, you know, horse or anything like that. But board games, we don't do it that often because it gets so volatile. but when we do, it's a blast. It gets intense in my house. And we'll do the horse. I mean, we'll do horse or pig or whatever. We're all about that as well.
I would say if you're going to play a game at home that you want to be fast-paced, you want to think, Connect Four. Connect Four is a game that will get crazy. I think that's some of the best in-home competition. You can't go wrong with Madden. Back in the day, Madden. I haven't played video games in like over a decade, but when you get on the sticks and you play Madden, it's go time. That's competition. Friendships are put on hold. They're not necessarily lost over games of Madden, but you'll go an hour or so without talking to your boy in an intense game of Madden back in the day. Especially when you're talking trash like me. I would take it to the extreme. I would take it to the extreme.
No kid.
I know that's hard to believe. My boys would always get mad at me because I would go so extreme that, like, let's say a wide receiver drops a touchdown pass or something like that. Like, let's say I'm playing with the Texans and I throw it and Jacoby Jones throws a touchdown pass. I'll start, like, basically talking to him like he's a coach. And then I'll pull up the depth chart and I'll put him at the very bottom of the depth chart like I'm, like, sending some sort of message. And my friends would always just be like, let's just play ball. Let's just play. But I would take it to the extreme. And if I was really feeling myself, I'd tell him my play there. Pictionary. What about Pictionary as we talk about in-home competitions here on In the Loop in the spirit of
I love that. I mean, just good old-fashioned charades.
It's frustrating, though.
Just good old-fashioned charades, though. When was the last time you played charades? That's a lot of fun, man.
It's been a long time.
It really is. Yeah, it's always a lot of fun, though.
Wii, Nintendo Wii, if you have it, if your kid has it, it's a little bit more active video games. But if you have Nintendo Wii or if you have Mario Kart, it's going down. It's getting intense. Mario Kart travels well with time, maybe better than almost any video game throughout history. I think those are good in-home competitions. Have you ever played LCR?
What is LCR?
LCR is a dice game. And basically, you roll three dice, and there's an L, there's a C, there's an R, and there are dots on the dice. So you start out, we play it with dollar bills. So you have three $1 bills. Let's just say you have three $1 bills, and there's a circle. So you roll the dice, and let's say it says, let's say LCR comes up. If LCR comes up, there's an L dice, there's a C, and there's an R dice. Then I have to pass $1 bill to my right, $1 bill to my left, and $1 bill to the center, and that's the pot.
Oh, okay.
So you keep going around until one person has all of the money and they get the pot, but you're never out of it. So say I don't have, say that Figgy's there. The max dice you can roll is three. Say that Figgy's to my right and I don't have any dollar bills. If Figgy rolls three L's, I got $3 bills right now, and Figgy's going to have to wait to get his money back. So you just keep playing that, and it gets intense, and whoever has all the dollar bills and if there's money in the middle, you get that money. That is an intense game, J-Lo.
That is an intense game. Have you ever played 42 with dominoes?
Man, I suck at bones. That's one of my biggest regrets. I suck at bones. My friends used to play them. I'm not very good at dominoes.
Really? If you can't graduate from A&M without playing 42.
Really?
You can't. That is a huge game down there. Huge game in College Station. It really is. All right, you ready?
Hit me with the trivia question. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, working at home with you, for you on Sports Radio 610.
Prior to Kevin Johnson, who wore number 30?
Oh, I know this one. But through the loophole, 713-572-4610 to get in. Who wore number 30 before the nemesis of John Lopez? We will answer that question.
I'll put it this way, just for more accurately, who was the last person before Kevin Johnson to wear number 30?
Gotcha.
Okay. Gotcha.
We're going to present the 10 most intriguing storylines post-quarantine here in H-Town. We're going to see how John Lopez, we're going to have him get out that crystal ball, and we're going to have John Lopez present how everything's going to play out here in Houston sports after things return to normal. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, John, hit me with that trivia question before we get into the 10 most intriguing storylines post-quarantine here in H-Town. We're going to have you rub the crystal ball on your birthday, by the way. John Lopez's birthday.
Just stop already.
On your birthday, John Lopez is going to rub the crystal ball and forecast the 10 most intriguing storylines post-quarantine here in H-Town. J-Lo, reset the question that you asked because I think this one's easy.
Is it?
I think so.
Prior to Kevin Johnson.
A whole lot of suck.
That Kevin Johnson. What Texan wore number 30?
That would be defensive back Jason Allen, the former Tennessee Volunteer Jason Allen.
Incorrect.
What?
Incorrect.
Okay.
Guess what?
Sure?
Guess what?
Stanford wore number 30? He was here for like 2 weeks.
Hey, I said prior to Kevin Johnson, number 30?
Oh, my
Stanford
gosh.
Route, which means maybe the jersey's jinxed. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Uh-oh.
Guess what?
Day it is.
Guess what?
Day it is.
It's Friday.
He was here for like a month and wore number 30. If you have a Stanford Route Texans jersey, send us a picture of that. And I know Stanford probably has one.
Stanford's going to send it to you. Yeah, Stanford's the only one in town that has that.
All the number 30s in Texans history, I'm telling you, all due respect to Stanford Route because he had a hell of a career. But he was finishing up his career when he got to Houston.
He wasn't a great Texan. I mean, he'd probably tell you that.
He'll tell you that. Number 30 is jinxed. No, for the Houston Texans, like, what's a jinxed number for, like, the Cowboys or whatever? What is just, like if you're wearing that, it's probably not going to be a good finish. It's not going to end well.
Is it like five? Clint Sterner's number 5?
Oh, God.
I'm kidding.
Listen to who's worn number 30 for the Houston Texans. Kevin Johnson. We know how that ended.
A whole lot of suck.
Stanford route was ending his career. Amon Green, probably the worst signing in Texans history outside of Brock Osweiler. Outside of Brock Osweiler, that probably is the worst signing.
And
Jason Allen. Jason Allen. Last year, Cornell Armstrong was Warrett. And Jason Simmons. If you get signed by the Texans and they give you number 30, say no thank you.
30 is a crappy number anyways.
Kind of is.
I mean, who wants number 30? I guess a running back can rock it. A running back can rock number 30. I know Terrell Davis was number 30. Like, there's been some good players that have rocked number 30. But if you're like a safety or something, you want the 30 to be – you don't want it to be the 30. You want it to be 31 and up. And if you – or maybe even in the 20s. Like, DBs, you want it the 20s. The 30 – number 30 just doesn't seem like a very good number. I bet Stanford was ticked when he got number 30.
He probably was. I forget what exactly the Texans paid Amon Green, but it was off the charts for a 30-year-old running back, and he was awful. I mean, just awful.
It was an awful dude too. I mean, I think yeah. he was a huge domestic abuser. But this is the trivia questions J-Lo threw. I thought I had it on lock with Jason Allen. Forgive me for getting the Stanford Broad era with the Houston Texans. Stanford joins us every Wednesday, by the way, for Well Spoken Wednesday.
Not DB, a corner.
6'10". Yeah, you were a corner. You definitely were that. The 10 most intriguing local storylines following the quarantine. I'm going to throw them your way, John. You tell me how they play out. How does this play out after things return to normal and we get our sports back?
Okay.
Number one, question number one, or most intriguing storyline, numero uno. Will Deshaun Watson's thoughts on the organization become more clear? Rub that crystal ball, OG.
I think they will because they have. I hope he's going to get asked about it, and I hope he answers it directly. But I think he's already answered that question. I think Deshaun Watson's thoughts on this trade and everything are pretty dang clear already.
Storyline number two, post-quarantine. What will Bill O'Brien's first draft class look like, and is a receiver going to be selected number 40 overall?
The second part of that question answers the first part. I think what it's going to look like is he's going to draft a receiver at number 40. That's almost guaranteed. But now keep in mind, they have two second-round draft picks now. I think that number 57 overall is going to be key to what do I always say? That the draft doesn't lie, right? You're going to have all kinds of speculation and team needs and mock drafts, and the Texans are looking at this player or that player. That happens with every team. Every team, you know, sends out these little stories and notes and plant stories, trying to manipulate what other people are thinking about their draft. But the draft never lies. Once you put in that card, it tells the world exactly what your needs are. Are they going to go cornerback? Because it seems like, you know, they've signed some cornerbacks. Are they good with that? Or are they going to go edge rusher? Or are they going to go with another offensive player? I think wide receiver at 40, and then to be determined at 57, but it's going to tell you exactly what they think.
Most intriguing storyline, Numero Trace. Three for all of the Caucasians out
Numero
there.
Numero Tres.
English, when will the Astros debut, and what should the MLB format be? So when and what should? So you're dealing with a prediction here, John, and then you're going to play commissioner and you're going to say what should happen in storyline number three. Hit me with it.
Baseball has to have a spring training. I'm clapping my hands in unison as I say that. I don't know if you can hear that. They have to have a spring training. Because, first of all, spring training was cut way short. They were just getting into games. Secondly, pitchers, Major League Baseball is not going to do that to pitchers, right? So I'm going to say June 15th is the start of the baseball season at the absolute earliest. Probably 100 games, which would line up, I guess, on the calendar. But, man, you had me at hello when you were talking about that tweet that you saw. Go ahead and go over it.
32-game MLB season just would be extremely intriguing. I think the NFL is so popular because there's only 16 games and there's week-long buildup. I think if baseball were a 16-game season and football were a 162-game season, which we know isn't physically possible, baseball would be just as popular as football is right now. It would be extremely popular, and football would get watered down. I think baseball, if you had a 16-game season and Justin Verlander was on the mound every single game, it would add to the intrigue. I don't think it's permanent, but I think a 32-game baseball season gets me sports horny, if you will, J.R. Yeah,
it does. It does. I love that idea.
All right, storyline number four. Uno, dos, cuatro. What impact will the
Good
Red Sox
Lord.
Punish? Dude, I got to use my fingers every once in a while when I habla the
number
Espanol.
Number four.
What Relano. Impact will the Red Sox punishment and report have on the Stros backlash?
Minimal. I really feel like it'll be a minimal amount. Well, let me qualify it. Unless they get a much harsher penalty than the Astros, I think the Astros are going to remain the face of this scandal. Only because they've got all this video that John Boy has put out there. And, you know, I haven't seen any of that with the Red Sox. So if it's a lesser penalty or a similar penalty, I still think it's going to be the Astros that are going to be the face of this.
All right, number five. How is the NBA
number five.
Going to finish their season, and will James Harden find his groove?
Yes, on James Harden. I think that dude just falls out of bed, able to knock down a step back.
He wants to play ball, man. Supposedly he's not taking this very well, and he's just foaming at the mouth to hoop.
No doubt. And I feel like he's one of those guys. He's going to be able to knock down that shot when he's 40, you know? But I think they're going to go straight to the playoffs. I hope they go straight to the playoffs, and I think they're going to go straight to the playoffs. The calendar is not kind to the NBA. The calendar, because they were talking the other day about Labor Day is the knockdown final date for the NBA final. You can't play the NBA on Labor Day. I mean, baseball is going to be going down the stretch. The NFL is going to be kicking off. College football is going to be going, like, you know, they're starting their year in earnest with all these non-conference games. And I don't think the calendar is kind to the NBA. And then the other thing is, I think they just want to be able to steal those headlines by going straight to the playoffs.
Can I make a proposal?
Please.
We don't need Labor Day this year. Like, we really don't. We don't need Labor Day this year. We're at home right now as it is.
Cancel Christmas.
What? Bro, what are you talking about?
We don't need
a
Labor Day this year, okay? We've been at home long enough. People want to be at work. Labor Day is so that you can get a break from work. We don't need a Labor Day this year. There are people dying to work right now. As a matter of fact, we should make it work day. We should make it go to work and work a double day. People would die to work doubles right now. People are dying for days off.
We don't need another day off ever.
Yeah, we don't need another day off ever. We don't need a Labor Day this week. It needs to be work a double day. That's what it needs to be. We don't need a Labor Day this year, John. We just want to go back to work. We just want to get back to sports.
Now that is the definition of a hot take right there. Cancel Labor Day.
Just this year. We don't need it. We don't need it. Why don't you tell those 70% of workers that Tillman Fertitta just laid off that they need a Labor Day? They're dying to work.
Yeah, they are. Well, he furloughed them. He didn't lay them off. He furloughed them.
But
there's
you lay off, you come back, right?
A furlough is with the possibility of coming back, the probability or possibility of coming back.
Yeah,
laid off
fired.
Means you gone. Laid off not means you
fired.
Gone, yeah.
Not fired. They're put on hold, if you will. It was basically the equivalent of back in your dating days, back in the John Lopez Casanova days. By the way, happy birthday if I didn't mention it. But back in the Casanova days, don't call me, I'll call you. That's what Tillman Fertitta told 70% of his employees. Don't call me, I'll call you.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, did you see what the CEO of Texas Roadhouse is doing?
He gave up his $1.3 million salary. And I tell you what, next time I order takeout, I'm going to Texas Roadhouse. I'm serious.
Well,
they moved up on the depth chart.
They moved way up on the depth chart. And let me tell you why. Look, Tillman can do what he wants. And I know he's got a lot of debt.
He knows more about the restaurant business than you or I. That's for damn sure.
Exactly. I know he's got a lot of debt, and he certainly is. You know, it's his business. He can do what he wants. So whatever. You know, he's down $1.8 billion from what he was 2 weeks ago. So I get it. But let me just say this, just as a tribute. I think his name is Troy Kent, the founder and CEO of Texas Roadhouse. I'm with you. I'm going to have to order some Texas Roadhouse, you know, here this weekend at some point, because his net worth, Tillman's net worth before everything happened was like around $5 billion.
I think his name is Kent Taylor.
Kent Taylor. Okay. I thought it was Troy Kent. Kent Taylor. But anyway, so now as of today, yesterday, I should say, because it's when I saw it, Tillman's net worth is down to $3.2 billion.
Oh, wow.
Now, clearly, that's...
Is he eating ramen tonight or SpaghettiOs? Is it ramen or SpaghettiOs, Tillman?
They're going to start serving Spam. but look, clearly it's all relative, right? But I think, you know, cash on hand, I mean, he's lost a ton of money, and that debt is, you know, if they have a margin call or whatever, he could be in trouble. So I get it. That's his business. But let me just say this. His net worth went from $5 billion to $3.2 billion. What's his name? Kent Taylor?
Yes.
Kent Taylor's net worth is about $350 million. So it's not like, I mean, that's a bleep ton of money. I get it.
I think I saw him begging for change the other day.
That's a whole lot of money. And that $350 million, no doubt, has diminished as well. Let's say $250. Let's say he's lost $100 million. And he's doing that. He's given up $1 million and
he's
bonuses.
Given up his salary and bonuses for his, and, for his you front, know, line, and, frontline employees.
To pay his employees. Shout out to Texas Roadhouse and particularly Kent Taylor, because you don't have the money. You got a lot of money, but you don't have Tillman money, and you're doing that. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go do a tip of the cap to Texas Roadhouse.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, working at home with you for you. Storyline number 6, post-quarantine here in H-Town. Will Laremy Tunsil get his extension or not? Rub that crystal ball, J-Lo.
I think he just has to, man. I think at this point, I'm a little bit nervous about it, because we should have been getting some smoke signals by now. But he's got him over a barrel. They can't not sign Laremy Tunsil. Yes, he would. He will. Excuse me.
Storyline number 7, post-quarantine here in H-Town. Will Zach Greinke be a viable Gerrit Cole replacement? I'm not saying he has to be as good as Gerrit Cole, but will he be an upper echelon number 2 pitcher and somewhat fill the void left by Gerrit Cole?
He's not going to be Gerrit Cole, but I think he'll be in the neighborhood. I think he's comfortable here. He's clearly not comfortable in front of the camera, but he's even getting better at that, which is an indication, you know, that he likes it here or is feeling better about this, etc. But he's not going to be Gerrit Cole, but he'll be in the neighborhood.
Post-quarantine local storyline number 8. What are the Rockets going to do in crunch time of playoff possessions if there are playoff games? James Harden, Russell Westbrook, what are we going to see? Is it going to be best play, the player in best position gets the shot? Is it going to be Harden or die? Is it going to be Westbrook takes over and goes alpha male on the team? What are we going to see in crunch time possessions?
Yeah, that first thing you said, I really trust Mike D'Antoni. And I know they both want the ball, but I think D'Antoni is going to determine who gets the ball. It's like they say, you know, you don't call plays during crunch time, you call players. But that, in this case, I think you call plays. And that means whoever has the best matchup, whoever they're not double teaming on, whomever is not getting the best defender on the switch. I think D'Antoni is going to put the ball in one of those two guys' hands, but the guy who's going to get the ball is the one who has the best matchup.
Post-quarantine storyline here in H-Town, number 9. Is this finally going to be the year that Carlos Correa breaks out?
Yes. I feel like he and the Sparkle Princess have got a good thing going right now. You can tell he's a more confident player just by his comments with the way he's been responding to the Texan, the Astros scandal, etc. So I feel like he will be. I feel like he will be.
All right, final question, final storyline, post-quarantine. Bill O'Brien said he hopes that we can. Are we finally going to hear from the man, the myth, the legend, Jack Easterby?
Max Life at TJ Maxx.
Yeah, that guy. I don't think anytime soon, man. I really don't. By the way, what did the Philadelphia Eagles do the other day when they were talking about this Texans draft?
They had a phone conference.
I mean, Texans trade.
They had a phone conference with their GM.
Yeah. Imagine that. You can actually have a teleconference with the general manager. Imagine that. All right. Are you ready?
Hit me with another question. Another OG question here on a Friday. Sports Radio 610.
Which former Houston Texans number 17 has thrown for the most yards?
It's got to be Brock. Or is it? We'll discuss when we go around the NFL. Also, speaking of the Texans, Texans safety Justin Reed. He's got some advice for Bill O'Brien and the Dallas Cowboys. They're doing Deshaun Watson a huge favor around the league next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.